you really do have to be at a place where the discomfort is so great that you're like, I'll do anything to get out of the pain, like out of the discomfort.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
And you're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser,
where we teach you to salon differently. After years of searching, we finally found a software that does it all. Introducing Aura Salonware. With Aura, you have the simple tools to streamline your business, such as a card on file, settings for hourly pricing, and even station sharing options. Implement communication boundaries with clients by interacting directly through Aura. Finally, a software that takes your business as seriously as you do. If you're interested in this type of profit maximization, visit aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos.
As a hairdresser, I know the struggle of managing your back bar, and that's where our friends at SalonSkill come to play. While you weigh your products with their app, SalonSkill automatically tracks your products used, making inventory management a breeze. Not to mention, they also save your formula. They are a digital solution for back bar management, and they really make it easy. You know we're both big on knowing your numbers, and SalonSkill does just that. Visit salonskill.com/DTH and use the code DTH10 at checkout for 10% off your first year.
We have been bringing coaches on month after month.
All year long.
All year long. And the listeners are loving it. Mm-hmm. And today we're being graced with the smooth stylings of Joy LeMay from California.
Hi.
Are you happy to be here? It's been how many years?
It's been so long.
You introduced her like, Delilah.
Yeah.
I love
that. That's what I wanted. The smooth stylings of Joy LeMay. I remember, so Joy's last name is spelled L-A-M-A-Y.
Capital M.
It's capital M.
Yep.
And whenever Lammy. I don't capitalize the M, she goes, this is the only reason I married my husband.
1,000%.
So I could be Joy LeMay.
It's the only reason I took his name.
That's sorry, yes.
Yeah, because I was like, it has to be a cool last name, and it was. Mm-hmm. So I was
What's your maiden name?
Letting. L-E-T-T-I-N-G.
Letting. That's cute, too.
Yeah.
It's very British sounding.
It is British. And I like
I can't
the L.
See you as anything else.
Then what?
LeMay.
I know.
Joy LeMay.
You were born to be a LeMay.
Yeah. Well, Nas used to go, Joy Letting is wedding. Like, you know, like,
Joy
Letting is getting at. It was so stupid.
He does that to me, too.
Oh, yeah. He always calls it Sid. Sid, get her done. Mm-hmm.
What's he call me? Not late to dinner.
Dad is entering the chat.
So, Joy, yes, let's tell the listeners, why the hell you still work for this company?
I don't know.
How did you get started with the story of the hairdresser?
It's one of those things where I can look back now and just be like, wow, this was really divinely planned. Mm-hmm. This was divinely guided to where I am and who I'm with and all these things. Because, you know, I think that as we get older, we look at all of these traits that we have. And a lot of times we've been told that they were not good traits. And then when you find the place where you're supposed to be, where those traits are now actually, like, encouraged, mm-hmm, and it's something to be proud of, then you're like, oh,
I like those things.
That's why I have these traits and why I have always been telling people what to do with their lives.
What are the traits that you're talking about?
That you feel valued in this company.
And then now I'm a coach, and now people are like, oh, please tell me what to do with my life. And I'm like, great. I've been practicing all life for this.
So what, when you were working, you were an independent stylist.
Oh my god, I'm so cut.
Nope,
leave that in.
No, oh my god, please.
I just want to point out
these are the things she was talking about that we value
all week,
so much.
I'm like,
in her.
Joy, just go. You're gonna go in there and you're gonna be so goddamn professional.
What
is gonna really show people that
you're the most
just
professional person I know?
Professional. Classy.
Wait till they hear your story. Then they'll be like, oh, that earring drop was nothing.
Joy's biggest fear just happened.
We had to get it over like 3 minutes in.
And so now we can just move on.
Okay.
But you were working in your own salon suite in California because everyone told you, one.
I was a booth renter. Yeah.
You're a booth renter.
Yep.
Yeah.
But what's the whole situation? What do you have to say to the people in California that they're like, well, you can't do commission in California, so this is my only option? And I'm just going to work by myself and be stuck by myself.
Yeah. And I think California, I mean, every area of the country has their own little pocket of what they think is acceptable. And their own little special
packet
of bullshit. And I think that California is not like any other place. And so I think that they're...
I think they think that too.
What's that?
They think that too.
That it's not
that
like...
they're not like... place.
You know what I'm saying? It is, it's like every other place that has, you know, those myths or whatever. And I think that, you know, we've had this idea of our state is very much Booth Rentzel. It's very much like an independent vibe. And I think that independence is actually something that's like really cool. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it does leave out this room for support and this room of like, if we all rise, then we all, like if one of us rises, we all rise. So then everybody just kind of stays complacent. Mm-hmm. And it can be really hard to like be the person that like wants to like rise and be bigger and be
break
better
and
break out of the mold. And so I wasn't anything different in a lot of ways to most booth renters in California. And I always wanted more for myself, but I thought that the epitome and I thought that the only thing that would work would be owning a booth rental salon. And I've worked in...
Loved it.
I know, and I did it. But I worked in so many booth rent salons where even though I felt really comfortable and I've had good experiences, I've had bad experiences, but for the most part, I liked that there were certain things that really did benefit, you know, people's lives. So, for instance, I didn't have to sit in a salon all day long for hours on end. I could make my own schedule. I could go on vacation when I needed to. I could set my own prices. Like, those were all things that, like, I really enjoyed. And I never wanted to be in a position where I took those away from somebody. So when I was thinking about, a salon, I, of course, thought of a booth rent salon. And then it wasn't until Sid and I, you know, got into coaching. And she told me, like, no, if you want to be a coach for us eventually, like, you have to open a commission salon. And I was like, this bitch doesn't know anything about California because we're just so different. And
Joy,
I remember,
was like very much like, no, like it made her, that conversation is burned in my brain. I talk about it all the time because she was so like,
no,
I'm not going to do that.
It's not going to work.
But I have a question before we even go there. Yeah. What made you call Destroy the Hairdresser?
Oh my gosh.
1-800 help me.
Yeah, that was like a whole other story too. Because I had been in a mostly booth rent salons my entire career, I was chasing all of the carrots that what I now know is product companies were waving in front of me, mm-hmm. to be able to go, this is, you'll know that you're a successful hairdresser when you've met this criteria. And I was on this hamster wheel for so long, just trying to figure out like what's gonna be the thing that actually gets me to where I wanna be. And so when I was an educator and I was traveling a lot, and so I found this podcast.
Was it Bleached then?
It was Bleached at that point. And I started listening to it, and you guys were just talking about, like, what you were saying was all of the things that I was feeling, but I didn't have the words for it. Mm. And so it really rang true with, like, a lot of those inner workings of my thought process, where I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm not the only person that's frustrated. I'm not the only person who's like, this doesn't work anymore. And I remember too, I had gone to so many, or I had tried so many different like quote programs and workbooks, and you fill out another PDF and you think, okay, at the end of this PDF, my life's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And
you never read it.
Another goal sheet.
You never even open it.
Another goal that Joy did not complete and didn't finish. So when listening to the podcast and it was like, you know, you were like, call us, like we can have a phone call. I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, I can like call somebody and like talk to them. And like, I had so many questions. I had so many ideas. Like, I just wanted to like bounce those ideas and questions off of somebody who like knew what it felt like to be a hairdresser. Because as much support as like my family and my friends are, it's not really the same. And so I had a discovery call with Sid. And I remember coming in And Nat, I told Nat, like, Naz is like, how did it go?
Naz is your husband.
Naz is my husband. And
he's so involved, too.
He's so involved. And he was like, well, how did it go? What'd she say? And I'm like, I don't know what she said. Like, I literally, like, I think I just, like, passed out. I don't know what. I know that I word vomited.
And you woke up here.
Yeah. And I woke up here. What year is it? Grandma's been dead for 10 years.
That I love so much about Joy.
Joy's a great improv partner. Because she'll just yes it. She'll just take it to the next level.
Yes. I love it.
But basically, I was like, I don't know what we talked about. I said, but I have to do it. I did not have the money for it. I had like a couple of months of coaching like saved up in like an account. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this for a couple months and we'll see what happens. And literally like my life changed. Yeah, 1,000%. Because I even told Naz, I said, if this doesn't work.
One of my greatest successes as a coach. I'm so proud of the journey.
Coaching is like narcissistic parenting. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, yes. Your success is my success.
I'm always on Instagram looking at like students and I'm like, I did that. I did it.
You did it.
Where would you be without me?
I'm just kidding, guys. I don't do it. But yeah, I remember thinking like if this coaching thing doesn't work out, like I will leave the industry and I will do something different because I was just so frustrated with so many things and I felt like I was like crawling out of my skin.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've said before too, like you were looking for someone to... You were just like looking for an answer that you thought
was
like
answers.
Someone had.
Oh yeah, because I mean, we even see it. I see it on like you know the newsstand where it's like J-Lo's one secret that changed her life,
and it's like walking,
drink water,
drink water, and walk
drink
every
water
day,
and you'll look like J-Lo
and get sleep.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I want to look like J-Lo.
Drink the blood.
So. But yeah, I mean, there's always this idea of like, or this feeling of like, that one thing is just eluding you. That one thing is just on the other side. If you could just figure out this
you
one.
Could just syndrome.
Yeah. And we always say like, oh, this one thing I shifted, the word shifted, right? I did this one shift and it moved everything in my business. And I was like,
electric slide.
Yeah, it's more, yeah.
Charlie
more
Brown.
Of a tap dance.
Yeah. When it was literally like, no, I needed to like set everything on fire and like just start again. And that's really what coaching
helps
me do.
Which is one of our methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. 1,000%.
So you made the phone call. You started working with Sid.
I started with Sid.
What was like the biggest, what was the hardest thing about coaching? The biggest challenge you had as a student?
So, and I've heard you ask other coaches this question. And
did we?
Honestly, for me, it wasn't, none of the methods were scary to me. Other than like when I
came time to— Yeah, I don't think you ever fought me on anything. You just did
Other than the commission salon, that was the only thing that was like, no.
Yeah, but that was like 3 hours and then the next day you were
I was like, okay, I'm in. Because like all I did was like I went home and I like Googled. I'm like, can you have a commission salon in California? And you just like read the law and you're like, oh yeah, I can do it. Okay, no problem. So it wasn't the methods. It wasn't like, you know, hourly pricing or all these other things. Honestly, the hardest part was taking radical self, like responsibility, personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because in my life up until coaching, I really thought everything that was going on was just because of outside things. And some of them were like getting hit by a car, my husband's strokes, like kids' seizures, like, you know, all these mm-hmm. things that you, that we deal with. There
we'll come
are
back
things.
To those. For the listeners who's like, what? What?
But those are things that like, okay, yeah, those are outside things. But what I didn't learn until coaching was the personal responsibility of and really understand that I was the person who had all the power to change everything in my life. And that was the hardest lesson to learn. And it was also the most impactful because it started to change. It was just like a ripple effect and started changing like my relationships with people, my relationships with myself, and then ultimately my relationship with like the industry.
Naz got right on board though.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like all of a sudden he was like, yeah, This all make, like, it's so great when the, like,
yeah,
the partners get involved. We should have him on.
You really, you really should. Because something that, so Naz and I, we've been married for 18 years. We've been together for 21. Blech, oh, crazy. Because I think I'm 21.
I'm
still.
Like, wait, you are
so 21. You got married when you were a baby?
Yeah. So when we first got married, we had all the same like issues that, you know, normal couples will have and those learning, you know, those learning growing pains. And I think that something that we learned pretty early on was that if we don't give each other space to grow individually, like we won't be able to grow together mm-hmm. as like one unit and then eventually as parents and like a family. And
most
so,
people don't learn that.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
It really is the secret to marriage. I don't
it's
know.
The secret
it
to really, any relationship.
It really,
yeah.
It really is. So we always talk about like how, you know, so like how like when this came up, neither of us see growth as being like a threat to anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be hard bits. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes, but both of us are like, we want to lean into it, not like,
yeah.
not shy away from it. And so this was definitely something that I would go to Naz and I'd be like, okay, Sid's telling me that like the salon that I want to open needs to be commissioned. And he's also very analytical. He's very balanced and like just very chill and even, you know. So he's just like, all right, well, like let's just like research it, you know. And then yeah, we like read the law and we're like, oh yeah, okay, we can do it. And so like, yeah, he's a critical thinker. Very critical thinking. And so to have like a very supportive partner to do life with and have kids with and have a business with and him support me has just been like super. Super great.
We do, unfortunately, have students that the person in coaching will grow
mm-hmm.
exponentially.
Yeah.
And the partner or the spouse doesn't.
Yeah.
And you can see that it causes problems. And it's such a hard thing for, I think, a lot of people that come into coaching that have a spouse or a business partner and one's changing, one isn't, because the change feels so intoxicating. Mm-hmm. When you're in coaching. And yeah. So you're very lucky to have someone on your team that's like.
Yeah. Well, I think it also helped that. So basically he tore an artery in his neck and it caused him to have two strokes. And being a young stroke victim, they typically will develop panic disorder. And so in his panic disorder, like I think it was like 9 months of him just like same, but same thing. Like he was like, here's an issue. Let me go to therapy. He was in therapy twice a week, outpatient, medication, like doing the whole thing. And I think that is one of, and again, we can look back and be like, that was really hard and it sucked so much. And it was really painful to go through that process. But without it, we both wouldn't have learned a lot of the things that he learned through therapy mm-hmm. that helped change the way he dealt with issues, the way I dealt with issues. And so
long-term preparing you for.
Yeah, it was definitely long-term preparing us for what we would, like what we have now. And I know it's also preparing us for like what we're going to have in the future. And so I think that when I started coaching, Naz was able to see, okay, this is the tangible way that we can like go into that risk-taking you know, process and take risks and get uncomfortable and like explore more of that. And I think because of what I was doing in my business, it like just propelled like everything for both of us. And then it just, yeah, it came out like in the form of a salon.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And now a word from our sponsors.
We have partnered with Hair Story, a product line that is good for our clients, our planet, and our bank account. Have you heard of Nuwash? It's like a shampoo, but actually good for your hair. Nuwash is a cleansing cream that cleans and conditions without the harsh foams and damaging detergents found in traditional shampoos. Hair Story does things differently, creating more conscious options that respect the environment and your hair ecosystem. Ready to try Nuwash for free? Visit hairstory.com/DTH to get pro access today.
What was transitioning from student to coach like?
Again, I think when I look back at my life, like this whole thing was drawing me to this. So it didn't, it always felt very natural to me. I never felt like, oh my gosh, this is so huge and it's so crazy and scary or whatever. Like, to me, I was just like, I'd already been doing this type of work with other people or other, you know, people that I was involved with. And so then to go into that role, it felt very, it felt like a homecoming, if that makes sense.
She told me on, in the discovery call that she wanted to be a coach. And like,
did I? I don't remember that.
And I remember thinking from the get-go.
You told me, because I was like, okay, here's my list of what I want to do in 2020. And you
and it
were
was
like,
basically like, I'm like,
and you were like, no, you're going to be a coach,
you
though.
You should be a coach. Like,
I want to talk to people twice a month on the phone.
Yeah, she was basically describing.
I'm really into voice calls, like voice memos. And I really, like, that's like my most desired feeling is to send voice memos.
I see myself on a podcast.
But I will say she did student to coach in 1 year.
Yeah.
Year to date was training, her training. Which a coach, which was
and I also
so
told
crazy.
You that I was gonna get the most students the quickest.
you did.
You did.
I did.
What are you gonna do next?
We'll find out.
She's like, I'm gonna get the most students again,
always.
What? So yeah. Again, kind of the same question. As a coach, what's been the most difficult part for you?
Yeah, I think that the most difficult thing about being a coach is that. Everything that your students are going through is amplified in your own life. So every mirror. So when my students are dealing with something, it's a mirror. Like, and there's no getting away from it. It's not like a mirror because I'm a flight. So I'm like, oh, there is, the mirror does not exist.
I'm running away from the mirror. I don't see the mirror.
Behind me.
Everything's going like this. I don't see anything.
When I was little, I would get nervous on stage when I do like little plays, and my mom said if you can't see them, they can't see you. So I would close my eyes, and I would believe that like no one could see me, and that's flight reactivity.
Yeah, I always picture like a hole in walls or in windows that are like shaped in my body.
Oh my god,
me like running through it. Yeah, like there's a joy shaped hole in that wall right now. I want to go.
Like a cartoon.
I'm out of here.
So the most difficult thing is that.
Yes, you whatever, can't.
You can't escape it.
You have to keep working on yourself. Like at a higher level.
You have to keep working on yourself. And so everything that you're doing, like you have to do to the max. And I think that if you are wanting to be a coach and you're not prepared for that level of consciousness that you need to have to be able to pause and reflect within yourself and like be okay with other people calling you out on your shit too. Mm-hmm. It's just all ego and it's not going to work.
Students aren't the hard part. It's the,
yeah.
It's like constantly working as coaches on our own BS. That's like,
do you ever just like
daunting.
At the end of the day be like, I wish I just, God forbid, didn't know any of this and I could just pretend. I just want to go back to being reactive and like blaming the economy and blaming my parents for everything more than I already do.
I know, taking like, no personal responsibility.
There are some days where I'm like, does this have to be my responsibility?
Yeah.
What's always. Been the, as twofold, what was, I think when people start coaching, they have an idea of what it is. What was the most like, when did you know it was like?
Oh, the first call.
Like deeper.
The first call.
Oh, yes.
Because like I said, my life up to that point was all just reactionary. I was here because of this.
You were surviving.
I was this. Mm-hmm. I was surviving. Oh, the reason I do this is because somebody told me to do it. Or like the way that I got to where I was just was because of outside forces. And so, of course, when you think it's outside forces, you are nothing but a victim because I'm just a victim of circumstance. I'm here. I live here. I'm with these people. I'm at the salon.
You can't change.
I'm here because of everybody else. Therefore, of course, I thought I was the victim. Of course I did. So I remember talking to Sid and I wanted her to be like, oh, pobrecita, it's okay. I wanted somebody to just be like, validate that victimness. You know what I mean? And when you were just like, no. Like, we're going to talk about this.
Not today.
Not today. We're going to talk about this thing over here. And I was just like, oh my God, what did I get myself into with this coaching thing?
Like, so it's like, at least I only saved 3 months because I can quit.
No, I did tell myself I was going to do it. I think I told myself I think I had enough for like 9 months or something. But the first call was talking about reactivity. And I thought, this is such woo-woo bullshit. And I am not a woo-woo person. And like,
Joy's,
you know.
The woo-est of the woo now.
She's the woo-y of the woo-est.
I know. I am. It's so true. So, but
some people do get that first phone call. And they're like, wait, we're not going to talk about my pricing.
We're going to talk about pricing. Yeah. Or like how I can like.
You can't raise your prices if you don't know your reactivity.
You know, you're not going to teach me how to stand up to that person. Like that's what I want to talk about.
Right.
But the first thing was like, no, you. Like your reactivity, the decision-making process that you have and fixing that. And that was the first, I think, like I said, that first call that I was like, oh, this is kind of different. But of course, in my thinking, right? Like I'm like, okay, yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, I'll do this and that. I'm just waiting for you to get to the good stuff.
Okay, sure, whatever. Okay, I'll listen. And then
I'll humor you.
But then shit hit the fan, like it will when you're in coaching. Shit will hit the fan with some incident, a relationship, a client, and then
a bill,
something will happen. And I remember going to Sid and being like, they said this to me and they treated me this way and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden she was like, this is. Like, she went back to,
good
like, the reactivity.
Yeah.
And this is what we've been preparing for. And that's when it clicked for me. Was like, oh, this isn't just my business. This is how do I function as a personal, responsible adult? And
how can I think for myself?
How do I think for myself? And do I want to retort? Do I want to fight back? Do I want to let this person go? Like, I was finally presenting myself with what are the options and which one is best to take. Not
you might not like it.
Not what I might not like or what I want to do, which is I want to run away. Like that person doesn't like no longer exist to me.
Right.
But it was like, no, how do I actually like stay put in that uncomfortability and like deal with it? And so in my case, that start of, oh, this is different. It wasn't a business relationship. It wasn't something in my business. It was something actually personal. Yeah. And so then that's when I started noticing like, oh, this is the shit that's going to like change everything in my life. Not just now I charge $80 an hour. Mm-hmm. Like
right.
That's the mode in which we get to that place of, no, you can use this to really change your life.
Yeah.
Was there a time that you were like, I want to quit coaching.
No.
I would have dragged her ass back.
Not at all.
Real quick.
Was there a time that you were like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done?
Yeah.
Was it all the time?
Sometimes.
I still feel like that and I own the business.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, last summer when I came to you specifically and I was like, this is like why I'm up against this like force that's within myself. And I knew it was my own blockage, knew it was my own bullshit. And I came to you and I was like, help me with this. And you were like, I don't know what to tell you. And I was like, what?
You like, wanted an answer, and you were but
yeah,
no
I was
answer.
Like, and you were like, I guess you're gonna have to figure it out. And I was like, well, what if I don't? Like, are you gonna fire me? And you're like, maybe. And I.
So much
that
work.
Sounds like, you, me.
Like if steam were coming out of my ears.
Well, you didn't get fired.
I didn't. And I didn't get fired. And
I. You're never gonna get fired. But.
And honestly, though, I needed to go through it. I needed to. And again, like, that's the thing. It's like.
It's cool when your coach is like, because I know David thinking, like, he was like, she has to feel this pain of, like, her having to get herself out of this. Because also a part of running away is also, like, wanting other people to answer your problems for you.
A thousand percent. 1,000%. And I knew.
We'd make a lot more money if we just did that.
Tell people what
if we just change our whole coaching method to just.
These
really,
are the answers.
Yeah. So what do you want to do? Okay. Do it.
What if we just said yes constantly? See what happens.
But I, when you look at switching to like from student to coach, what's been the most gratifying thing in that transition of, because I think some people are, nervous in the transition of student to coach because you're like, well, are you still going to coach me? Mm-hmm. Are you still going to, like, they don't want to lose that connection. What has been, what's behind the curtain for those who don't work for us, I guess?
What's behind the curtain is radical acceptance, I would say.
Ooh. I thought you were going to say giggles.
It's a lot of those.
But I like your answer
way
better.
Can you expand on that?
Giggles. Radical acceptance because those places that are within us that we don't want to look at, the places within us that we've been told aren't good, aren't usable, the places within us that we don't want to be seen, that we don't want others to see. I think that this is one of the first places outside of my marriage. This is one of those places where I've been with a group of people where we allow each other to see those things.
I thought you were going to say we're a family. And I was like, Joy, don't say that. Don't.
Families don't let you see those things.
That's true.
People don't like.
I don't know what family you're talking
about.
People
don't let you see those things. Or they'll go like,
yeah, mine either.
That needs to.
Yeah. Like, you know how you're wild? Calm down. That's family.
Lock it up.
Yeah. Don't wear that. Yeah.
Don't wear that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. One of my mom's favorite things to say was, don't say that at school. I hope you don't do that at school. I hope you don't do that. You don't do that.
What she was saying is, don't embarrass me.
Don't embarrass me. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So I would say behind the curtain is radical acceptance, but it's not an acceptance that says what you do doesn't matter. Mm. Or it's not a radical acceptance without accountability. It's like, yeah, you can totally mess up. You can fail, but you are going to be held accountable to it.
Right.
and not an accountability for image sake or for, control sake. It's you're being held accountable to a higher consciousness because that's what you've asked for. And it's not easy at times. And yeah, we fail. But I would say that behind the curtain, I've allowed myself to be accepted and allow myself to be seen. And I think that was one of the things that happened last summer for myself was that I knew that there were more layers that were coming up for me that I needed to let go of, or I needed to let it be seen, let it be heard. And I know that there's going to be more layers throughout the years. I'm going to keep going through that process.
She just gave me goosey bumps. Yeah.
Does it feel,
that was so good.
Doesn't it feel good that we were able to create something like that?
Yeah, I just want to hold you and give you a hug.
Cradle
like
you a baby. In our bosom.
I'm so proud.
I have two final questions. You coached with Sid.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like to then work with me?
I was so terrified at first, and there's been things where you're just like, well, I'm gonna have to figure it out, and I've been like, I don't like that. It feels icky.
Run towards the discomfort.
Yes, but I will say, I don't think I would be where I was definitely without the two of you in the. Each unique ways that you coach me.
We feel that way about all of you in our business.
Yeah.
And my last question is, what would you tell someone who's listening that it's like, I'm not sure if I should sign up. I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if this is the right place. Like, what would you tell that person?
The easy answer is like, just fucking do it. Like the hit song by Kate Kent. Just fucking do it.
There's nothing to it. They're gonna love that.
It's so
that
good.
That should be the intro music to the
it
podcast.
It really should. I mean, yeah, like I say it all the time, but it's that's the easy answer. The harder answer is you have to be ready. Like if somebody, and we always talk about it, like if somebody's wishy-washy, if somebody's like, I don't know, I'll just try and see. Like you really do have to be at a place where the discomfort is so great that you're like, I'll do anything to get out of the pain, like out of the discomfort. Because I suffered for years in trying to figure out, like, what am I doing with my life? how do I become this person that I knew was inside me? How do I let that person come out? And the discomfort of not being that person was so great that I was like, oh, I will try anything and I'll do anything. And so if somebody is in that place, then it doesn't matter about the money. It's just money. Mm-hmm. Right. Like me and Naz say it all the time. I'm like, it's just money.
Make more.
You can make more. If you're worried about time, it's just time. Like you'll have time. And it really just comes down to like, if you don't feel like you are the person who you can, that you want to be today, like then you have to be in coaching. Like there's no other way to do it.
I guess I do have one more question.
Was such a good answer.
I know, but I want to add, well, now that's what...
Yes, and.
This. Yes, and. What kind of student do you like working with? Who are you looking
for? I was going to say, my favorite thing Joy does is she posts screenshots from her conversations with her students. And
with their permission.
With permission.
I just don't do names.
Yeah.
So oh, and okay, it'd be like, yeah.
And she'll be like, what it's like working with me. And I live for those.
Yeah.
Like,
what can,
I feel like it should be a series.
If people are like, I want to work with Joy, like, what can they expect? Who are you looking to work for?
You know what? It's like, I love people who want to open salons. I love people who have salons. That's great. But what really gets me going are those people who just, they don't know like what they want to do. And not even like, or it's not even they don't know what they want to do. Cause those are, to me, that's like surfacely, like, I don't care what you do. Let's get into like why, like the inner workings. Like that's right. What I care about. Like that stuff that is within you that like, if you are scared to be seen, you're scared to be something, do something. Like, let's talk, like, let's get into that stuff because you can have the best salon in the world and nobody will want to work for you if you don't deal with that, like, internal gunk that's in there. You might be the best coach that has ever walked the planet, but you'll never realize it until you deal with that gunk inside you.
Like so, under the sink gunk. That's
yeah,
what I'm imagining.
All the stuff. All that stuff.
I just, word I'm thinking gunk. Of, like, all the hair buildup in a shampoo bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
So that's the person. So even if they go, well, I don't know what coaching's for. I don't know why. Or I don't know what I want to get out of it.
Joy's like, I know why.
I know
Joy's
why. Like, I know why. Find it. I know how we're going to get there. And I know what we need to do.
I love
and that's
that.
Kind of the thing. So all I need is somebody who's willing to just be like, okay, let's go for it.
I love that. That's my favorite kind of student too.
She's yeah. literally keeps giving me goosebumps. Like...
That's because she's bringing us to church.
You can call me anytime, babe.
So if you're interested in learning more about Joy, you can go to destroythehairdresser.com/Joy. You can read her bio. You can see some testimonials. And you can skip the line and start working with her right away. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Joy.
We'll
I love you,
on,
you guys.
We'll have you on again soon
I love
sure.
you guys in a really a business appropriate way.
I love you.
You heard it here. You heard it here. It's not a family. It's a business relationship.
It's a business relationship, but like I'm like,
but like
obsessed
so much love.
And you can never leave me.
Next time on Destroy the Hairdresser, the podcast.
This is my biggest fear for salons that are like, they're brand new and they open and they're killing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you better fucking open the second one right now.
Right now.